Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Season 1, a podcast where two best friends watch, review, and recommend TV shows that only aired for a single season. My name is Presley.
My name is Andrew.
Welcome back, everyone, to the podcast. It's always great to see you, even though we can't see any of you. Thank you all for stopping by to listen to us talk about shows that were canceled in this futile effort to find good shows. Today, we watched Resident Evil, a reboot of a reboot of a spinoff of a something about a video game from Japan from the 90s. And Andrew is going to tell us all about it, not after a music clip, because there's no intro music. So take it away, Andrew.
All right. Cold launch into the synopsis. I love it.
I mean, is there an intro? I don't think there really is.
No, there's kind of like a 1 or 2 second like sound. It's not really an intro. Yeah. And it's not the same.
It would just be jarring.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the same every time. I think it would probably just be like, ugh, okay.
It's like there's some screams and some scraping. And
It would be like, oh,
they can't see because it's an audio medium.
They're like, oh, they need to fire whoever that guy is that is their editor because he missed a part. That was weird.
Yeah.
Anyways. Resident Evil is a 2022 Netflix action horror series that follows adult Jade Wesker, played by Ella Balinska, who is studying Zeros, zombies, and young Jade Wesker, played by Tamara Smart, discovering what her father, Albert Wesker, Lance Reddick's company is, or Umbrella Corporation is up to. Adult Jade is rescued, captured multiple times as she struggles to return to the university, which is on a boat, by the way, where her husband, daughter, and allies live. Young Jade and young Billy, played by Sienna Agudong, get in deep with a conspiracy theory and deal firsthand with the T-virus when Billy is bitten by an infected dog at the Umbrella Corp when they break in at night. We see everyone who helps adult Jade die while she narrowly escapes, only to be caught by her sister Billy, played by Adeline Rudolph, adult Billy, who is secretly running Umbrella Corp. The end of the show leaves us with young Jade and young Billy leaving New Raccoon City to find Ada Wong, presuming that she can help the girls, and Jade being shot by Billy in the present or future timeline, who takes her daughter captive. Wow. That is the most confusing and straightforward synopsis that was possible to be written.
Yeah, it's hard because the show is like every other scene, it oscillates between the future and the past. And so not like if you look at either just the future or just the past, too much doesn't actually happen. We kind of talked about when we were trying to write the synopsis.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to describe it all, it's very convoluted and very challenging to kind of summarize everything.
Yeah, it's kind of like much like the synopsis. It's quite a bit of whiplash when you kind of like, you know, you spend a couple minutes with adult Jade. Something happens, like the guy who gets ripped in half by a zombie spider, and then like you're watching young Jade on a computer, like FaceTiming Simon. Which is the CEO of Umbrella Corp's son. CEO is Elena, right?
Yeah. no, Evelyn, sorry.
Evelyn, yes, thank you. And it was something like that. Yeah, it's just like, I think to surmise this whole show in one word, if it was possible, it would be whiplash. and I know that sounds really bad, but like genuinely it's as an artistic choice, like the constant like jerking back and forth between the two timelines feels like whiplash in some moments.
Well, and it's not only that, but it's like tonal whiplash.
Yeah.
Because the parts that take place in the past are very much like very melodrama-y. Like there's some elements of like horror and like the stuff that happens in the future stuff, but it's like very much teen drama.
Yeah. And it's like teen drama mixed with spy, mixed with like conspiracy, like CIA type think like feeling almost. Not
right.
Really,
and then you have the future, which is like a pretty straightforward, like horror / like gore fest kind of style.
Yeah.
Film thing. Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, it's the such like a weird way two to scenes it. Where there's actually something happening, like action wise, you know, there's a little bit of blood, but it's interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. So, like, I actually, to be honest, it sounds, just based off of what I've already said, I'm sure it sounds like I don't have very favorable opinion of the show. I didn't mind it that much. I actually kind of enjoyed some of it. I think what I enjoyed the most was, which is feels weird to say, is like the young timeline. I didn't like the cringy, like, Zillennial or Gen Z shit that was all like cringe and social media and FaceTime.
They got
and, like,
kombucha on tap.
Yeah, like all that kind of shit. But I liked the origin story piece of it, right? Where they're like, oh, we need to try to figure out what's going on. Like, dad's being super weird. Why are we here? And kind of just...
Well, and I think to also in the origin story, yeah, you were also wondering when the outbreak is going to take place.
Right.
Because you know right. that these two characters, these two siblings and their dad, are basically the catalyst for the end of the world that we're
right,
seeing
exactly.
in the future.
Exactly.
And we know in the pilot episode, Billy gets bit by one of the zombie dogs, which is like a famous Resident Evil thing from a lot of the video
right.
games.
Even I know that, and I've never played the games.
Right.
Or watched the movies,
it's so. One of the most famous scenes in like video games is when the zombie dogs first show up, because it's like yeah. one of the original jump scares in a horror game. But right. separate from that, you're waiting for her to, like, when is she going to turn into a zombie, right? And when is yeah. she going to start this kind of cascade that turns the world into what we see in
totally.
The future? And that is where it actually builds really cool tension, because every single episode mm-hmm. they kind of lead to another building block of it, where you really are just waiting for everything to break bad, and it never quite does in a fun kind of subversion.
Yeah, yeah,
which I actually
like
enjoyed
and
to your point.
Yeah, and I did enjoy that. So I like that. I really like the idea of, like, you know, bad corporation, some like unsuspecting kids are just kind of like getting in the middle of it, and like all of a sudden they like kind of start opening the veil, and then all of a sudden they open it, and it's like this deep thing where it's like, oh shit, this company is making products and like medicines and stuff, and then in really high doses of this joy product, it literally like turns people into zombies.
Well, and it's also there's also an interesting kind of secondary tonal thing, because we see in the final episode somebody finally take the drug of joy, and
right.
she is basically a zombie in the sense of her like ability to she's so placid.
Sense.
She has
yeah.
no it's like she's been like lobotomized almost, where she's
yeah.
still doing things, like she's cooking dinner, but like she can't feel that she just like grievously cut her finger.
Yeah, she almost cuts her finger off and she doesn't even notice it.
Yeah, and she's like so ditzy and happy, and it's like
yeah.
that is a representational version of the zombies that are there
yeah.
in like literal
yeah.
horror movie zombies, not that. And it is kind of a fun way of doing that.
Yeah.
Where you're like, what
yeah.
is going on?
Yeah, so I think that the young timeline, I guess we'll say the past timeline, had a pretty compelling like story to it. As far as, like I said, I didn't like some of the things that they did with how they played things out. Just like the kids, the daughters, yeah, you know, Jade and Billy just being like insufferable teenage Gen Z or whatever the next generation people is.
Well,
it just wore me out. And but I really liked the story of it, and like them uncovering with this this guy from Tijuana who was around when the last Umbrella Corporation factory like went up in flames, or was basically it was nuked. But like the zombie breakout happened there, and they controlled it, and he's trying to like investigate and figure
he's
out what's
to
going on,
and
they get involved, and he's trying
happening.
To become a whistleblower, and that was all very interesting. I think that's what sold this show most for me. The adult timeline didn't feel like I got anything from it. Like, things happened, sure. Like, right, we watch Jade, you know, she's researching the Zeros. She gets captured or rescued by this Mad Max society. They turn her over to Umbrella Corporation. She gets away. She then gets caught by Umbrella Corporation. And then they get caught by the Brotherhood? Is that their name?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I believe so.
They get caught by the Brotherhood, and then like there's this queen zombie who can like control all the other Zeros, excuse me, because they're not called zombies in a zombie movie. They're never called zombies. They're always called something else. It's like the Queen Zero who can control all the other Zeros, and she's like, oh, that's crazy. So she like takes a chainsaw to, you know, it's that chainsaw scene you were talking about. Or the gore scene you were talking about. Like
it's literally 20 seconds of her screaming and taking a chainsaw to this zombie, and blood is just spewing everywhere. It doesn't serve any purpose.
Taking the head of the queen zombie, sure.
That serves a purpose.
Because she doesn't end up doing that.
Themselves don't.
But the whole shot and the whole scene itself is just like, okay. All right. This wasn't even a horror show. So, all right, but no, so she takes the head, and then she, fuck, what happens next? Oh, and then she leaves the Brotherhood and conveniently just is found. By Umbrella.
Yeah,
she's found by Umbrella.
Yeah.
Because they track her again.
Well, because they were tracking her agent that had captured, that she was captured with to go to the Brotherhood. Right.
And then they track the head, they put a tracker in the head. Jade sees adult Billy. And they have a conversation, and then Billy lets Jade go and is like, here, get out of here. You know,
I'm trying to protect you.
It's too late for
me,
but here, you can get out. Like, I'll spare you. Take your head. It's in my little bin that says my name on it. And she goes back, or when she leaves about 10 seconds later, our people from the university are just there, and they're like, hey, we've been looking for you. Then she goes to the boat, which how did they find or know where this super secret like Umbrella Corporation base was?
Because of the tracker in the head.
They tracked the tracker that they didn't know existed?
No.
The Brotherhood or the university tracked the tracker they didn't know existed?
No. So the university knew that everyone was looking for Jade, and the university was on the boat trying to find her because they knew she was close. And then when they're captured by the Brotherhood, they make their escape only to be recaptured because of the other guy, the other dude that was tracking her had a tracker. They then overtake the Brotherhood's base, right? And then she re-escapes from said base after being let go by Billy.
Right.
Where she then runs into the agents that were already searching for her from the university.
Yeah, but how did the university just conveniently end up right there 10 seconds after she left? That's what I'm saying, is that was a little too convenient.
Well, because they were tracking her movements the entire time. That's why she was trying to get to France anyway from the UK, because she knew that they were on that side of the channel.
Okay.
It's subtle. It feels like you're nitpicking.
Still seems pretty convenient. No, and I'm not really trying to nitpick that. But basically, we see they go back and forth. Jade is rescued by the university, and then the university and Umbrella have this meeting, and they're talking about, we just want Jade. Jade gets, the entire time, every single person that she talks to, who helps her, who gives her a backstory on their life, literally dies.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person. And so it's almost to this point where it's like when you're watching the show and she's talking to someone random and they're like, oh yeah, this is who I am. And this is what, you know, it's like, well, they're going to die like 10 seconds later. And it happens.
It's so funny. There's the quintessential character that you know is going to die from the second they open their mouth. Because, when she finally gets back to the university and she starts working with the zombie head, she's working with a lab assistant or like her friend. I don't know.
Her partner.
Partner.
It's like her partner.
She, like, they say something and like instantly she cues into the fact that she's pregnant, and she's like, I don't know how to tell him yet, you know, but it's so exciting and I just can't wait for everything to be great. And it's like, oh, you are dead. Like could have called it a mile away. And then of course she dies like an hour later in the showtime. As a result of Jade being stupid. It's so interesting. I tried to not read reviews of shows prior to us recording the podcast because I like to kind of come in with my own opinions already set prior to having other people kind of share their opinions. But this was one of those times where I was like, I'm really curious what people had to say about this because I already had such strong opinions about it. Nothing people were going to say,
yeah,
would change it. And pretty much the lion's share of the opinions, because the show was not well reviewed, was this is, they're literally trying to mix teen drama with like post-apocalyptic action. Yeah. And those are two things that fundamentally do not mix. Right.
Yeah.
You can have some interesting like drama within a post-apocalyptic setting. I think of what was that show on HBO? I think it's Station 19, where it's the apocalypse has already happened, and it's the survivors of the apocalypse who run basically a circus going from the settlement to settlement to kind of entertain people amidst the post-apocalypse. And it's there's no like horror, there's no apocalyptic elements other than like humanity's ended, and it's just like them traveling, and it's very dramatic, right? And that works. But trying to suffuse this time jumping intense thing, and then not only that, but you're also tying it into a video game, one of the most critically reviewed and beloved video game franchises of all time. Why do you need to do that? I don't understand.
Are you really tying it into the video game? So here's the thing, is that's actually interesting, is I did the same thing. So really? I also don't look at reviews.
We've kind of made it a point to not. It's like how you and I do not discuss prior to our recording our thoughts on the show.
Exactly. We don't talk about the show. We don't look up reviews. We don't really try to peek behind the curtain on what other people think, because we do want to have our own opinions. But with this, I was like, okay, I know that there's a bunch of games out there, and there's some movies. There's like a deep development of lore and a deep well of content about this. And this is pretty much the first one I saw out of all of it.
I haven't played any of the games.
I know. And don't worry. This isn't going to like skew my perspective toward Resident Evil. I know that it's good. I know that maybe the movies may be a little like creatively bankrupt as they've gone along, but like, that's what I just want to hear. But I watched a review, and the guy was basically going on about how literally had nothing to do with Resident Evil.
I don't think that person pretty much played the video games though.
Well, he mentioned obviously like Albert is a character.
Yep.
Right. And like Umbrella Corporation and the dog and like all that kind of stuff. Like some of that stuff, they're like very, very small, very few like elements of Resident Evil, but it largely seemed, or he was saying it would largely seemed like it was not very Resident Evil. There's just this random like thing with a couple loose references.
Yeah. Saying loose references is kind of hard because like what is a strong reference versus what is like a not strong reference? Albert Wesker is one of the most, if not the most influential character in all of Resident Evil.
Okay.
And that is the father of these two characters. Also, shout out to Lance Reddick, RIP. This was his last project that he fully completed prior to his death, which is, and he's the best part of this whole show, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. I will say, everyone did a pretty good job acting.
Yeah, the acting's pretty strong, especially for the two younger actors. Yeah. The two young, like they do as well as can be expected for younger actors.
Yep.
But Albert Wesker is really, really important. The events of Raccoon City that we find out about are also very important because that is the backdrop of the entire plot of the first, second, and third game. Raccoon City as a concept is very important. The T-Virus is the central focal point of almost all Resident Evil games. Ada Wong is a very, very central character.
Yeah.
And those are like the big things. And it's like, okay, well, I understand why those don't feel like they're not the plot of the show. So it doesn't feel like they're related.
I guess that was the argument, was that like, it was a completely different plot.
Yeah.
But then you also have used some of the resources to the show. Yeah.
So like one of the big things that if you've never played any of the games, don't know anything about it, you're not going to hear certain parts of dialogue that are very much literally ripped from the game specifically.
Yeah, which
a lot
was literally
of
me.
What?
Yeah. Which was me. That was me. I'm in that
game. Yeah. So one of the easiest ones to pick out for like a layman is when they're captured by the Brotherhood in episode 4 and they're having this conversation. Jade and the Umbrella agent, they decide that they're going to break out. And so he like pulls this knife that's out of his belt, like this kind of hidden knife. And he is like trying to basically lift the gate off of its hinges so they can escape. And one of the things that he says is, call me the master of unlocking. which is one of, if not the most famous line from the original game. The original game has like the worst voice acting and worst, cheesiest script ever, especially in the American localization of the game. Sure. And so like there's this character that hands Jill her lockpicks. Jill Valentine's one of the main characters and one of the two playable characters in the original game. And he's like, "You must be the master of unlocking, Jill."
"Find anything, Jill?"
"Nothing. What is this all about? I can't figure it out at all."
"Beats me, too."
"Now it's Wesker's time to disappear. I don't know what's going on."
"Well, it can't be helped. Let's search for him separately. I'll check the dining room again."
"Okay. I'll try the door on the opposite side."
"This mansion is gigantic. We could get into trouble if we get lost. We should start from the first floor, okay? And, Jill, here's a lockpick. It might be handy if you, the master of unlocking, take it with you."
And so, like, that's become, like, an early meme of the game. Mm. And so, like, that's what they're doing. And those are sprinkled throughout the entire show. As well as, like, when you see Albert Wesker talking to his clones, he is wearing the outfit that Albert Wesker wears in the games. Albert Wesker is a white dude in the games. But Lance Reddick,
you're talking about
black.
The original Albert, who looks like Blade.
Yeah, right. He looks like White Blade, and so when you put Lance Reddick in it, he looks like Blade. And so, like, again, those are they're constantly sprinkling those things throughout, and so it's like, I get it, but anyone who plays the video games, or I would say 95% of the people that play the video games, are not going to care about a teen drama. I know I didn't. Because that's not my kind of show.
And I didn't care about the teen drama. I cared about the conspiracy.
Yeah. And that's where the interest lies.
And that's where the interest for this whole series basically, you know, was with me. I just really wanted to see it happen.
And it tickles the brain of, like, this is a corporation that nuked a city a decade or two ago. Yeah. And has now rebuilt an entire another city in its namesake in a different country. And everybody, they have, like, the best press in the world, but they're secretly extremely evil. And it makes you wonder, like, which of the other corporations is this? What is Umbrella in our modern actual version of it? Because that was like the allegory that they were going for in the original, the original game, and it's fun to think about, even if it's extremely scary.
Yeah. It was really interesting. I had to look at that review to see. Because I thought that was probably the most efficient way to tell if it actually did tie in well with the games and the other lore and the well of you know, content. So it's interesting to hear your comment on it as well. But I think as a show specifically, it felt like we watched a third of a season or like half of an actual season.
I think because, like, it's cutting between two different things.
Yeah, it cut between two different things so much, and there were two, I'll say, like, deep or rich storylines that neither one felt super fleshed out. Like, you know, with Jade, with adult Jade, like, we had her whole thing where she, basically her entire storyline was just, I'm kind of a fugitive from Umbrella because they really want to capture me,
as I call them,
and and I'm just traveling from point A to point B.
Yep.
And it's,
and constant obstacles are interceding.
Yeah, my constant obstacles. At the end of every episode, she's captured by someone new, basically.
Yep. Or recaptured by the same people that she escaped from the previous episode. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like,
I guess I mean new as in, like, she's not constantly captured by just Umbrella. It was like the Mad Max people, then Umbrella.
Then the Brotherhood. Then Umbrella.
The Brotherhood.
Again.
Then Umbrella.
Then back to the university.
To the university. And then Umbrella. It's like literally that was like the entire.
Yeah, recounted the entire sequence.
Yeah, and Billy had just been introduced toward the end of the show, and we just finally saw like their interactions and like maybe starting to get a peek behind the curtain of what's actually going on in present time. Because you know, there's like the idea that certain pheromones can protect people, humans, from the Zeros. They won't be able to sense them. And then their regular pheromones, as just a human or whatever, obvious, and blood, attracts them, right? So we just started seeing something happen. And then we lost it because it ended. Right? And so that's, it felt unfinished. I know that we were supposed to have gotten a conclusion for a series because Billy took B. Her name is B, right?
Yeah.
Jade's daughter. She took B. Billy took B, and that was our cliffhanger for the end of the season. But like, I kind of feel like Billy might have, or Billy might have been better for B.
Than her own mom. Way,
because like, yeah, because like Jade sucked. Overlord. Like, well, but like, think about it. Like, Jade pretty much doesn't really care about anyone else the entire time. She cares about her daughter, but like, everybody she is around dies. She's incredibly selfish. She's not really there for her daughter. Yeah, but like, it's not just about you, and it is, right? It is kind of just about her.
She is the main character of the television series.
Well, but no, obviously the show's about her. I didn't mean it like that. I mean everything to her is about her. It's not about them as a society. It's about her need to like answer all these all these deep questions she has about the Zeros, instead of like, why can't we just be happy and be safe where we are?
Well, I think a big part of it is trying to fix the world that she knows she is responsible for breaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because here's
the way. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Right? Like, we know that the direct event. Okay. Here's what happens. Billy, who is a vegan, who gets bullied for being a vegan.
Right.
Decides to break into Umbrella because she at one point sees that they're doing animal testing because they're like carting a whole bunch of rabbits through the lab that she's waiting for her dad in. So her vegan animal rights activist beliefs cause her to break in, which unleashes the dog, which then bites her, which causes the cascade of events that leads ultimately to one of the Albert Weskers blowing himself up, unleashing some type of abomination, which is presumably like the start of the apocalypse. Is like the very final shot of the show where we see this fucked up hand come up through the rubble.
That was like the thing at the bottom in that tank that
exactly
was supposed to help with or something.
It is a video game reference to the Nemesis, which is a famous character from the games.
Got it.
All I'm saying is that she feels like she has a duty to undo her past wrongs and helping Billy to do all these things. And Billy no longer feels a sense of guilt around her involvement in these things. Because basically they say it in the show, like the T-virus kind of changed her and made her a much more ambitious and aggressive person. Because she is kind of half zombie at this point where, she bites somebody and they're going to turn into a zombie, but she herself is not one of them. Right. And yeah. I think like that's the crux of the show and the motivation for her character is that she feels more responsibility in fixing the world than she does her own problems or the people around her. Yeah. She masks it and, I need to get back to my daughter. My daughter's waiting for me. But then when she's with her daughter and has the opportunity to watch her beautiful piano recital, she decides like halfway through to go and play with her chemistry set, essentially. Which she had been doing all day. And she could still do in 2 hours, right? Like there's literally nothing pressing about her need to go and do that right then other than her desire to fix the world.
Yeah.
Ultimately a noble goal when you were the person that helped to destroy it, but also a pointless endeavor because it gets everybody killed.
Yeah, I get your point. I think my problem with that is that you are working really hard to infer that.
Yeah, we don't get enough of the character development.
From like you're kind of not necessarily, you're kind of injecting that into the series, right? We don't really get that from her, from how she acts or behaves or what she says, right? Right, exactly. And I think that's my problem. It's like, I could totally believe that. Like, that could possibly be a thing, right? But we don't get the sense of that.
Yeah.
She's just obsessed with uncovering more, right?
Yeah.
I think you could be right, but that's, it's not displayed to us, right? It's not
it's
obvious.
Not enough. Because,
and
like
it's
you're
not
saying,
enough, right?
It's my assumption about the characters rather than the show presenting the characters to me well enough. Because, again, you don't need to say these things. We, you and I are big proponents of the show don't tell, but it is still not shown enough or told to us enough for it to be clear.
Exactly. And so, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but at the end of the day, it's just like, if we look at the way she acts, she kind of sucks, right? She just kind of sucks because all she is she's just obsessed with learning as much as she can about Zeros and watching their behavior. And she causes a lot of death along that path.
Right.
And to someone who she considers like her best friend or her partner, which was the other scientist who was pregnant, right?
Yeah.
So like, at least Billy would probably protect her better. That's all I'm saying. It's like, it's hard. Cause like, I don't know. Cause no more of this show is going to happen. But like, I almost was like, is that really a bad, I was questioning. I was like, is that really a bad thing that she's like going with Billy? Cause Billy's kind of fucked up, but like Jade's kind of fucked up too. And everybody that she goes around kind of dies a lot. So
we also know that, with the dubious ethics displayed by Umbrella universally, Jade's daughter's accelerated learning, as is told to us in the show, that she's basically like playing these massive concertos like when she's like six. Like there's no reason that she should be this good at piano. It is fair to presume that she would be heavily tested and drugged and medicated and exploited with Billy, who has no qualms about doing those kinds of things.
So
I think that's where I'm going to disagree with you. Obviously, again, we're not going to have the answers to the show. Know, and it is both a blessing and a curse that the show was canceled, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's part of me that was like, okay, I'd be curious to see where the past stuff goes now that presumably the outbreak is happening or is about to start. And we could see, we could see Billy and Jade's eventual falling out, because at the end of the series, the past versions of them are still close sisters. They're lying together. They're compassionate towards one another, and eventually they break bad.
They've kind of argued and butted heads, but like, there's not been a severance.
Yeah, and we know that like the sisterhood runs strong. They are twins.
Yeah.
Even though they don't look at all like twins, which they explain, and I respect that, right? And I know that I'm sure there was parts of it that would have made this challenging too with another season with the death of Lance Reddick, because they leave with him, but it's not their father. It's the clone of their father, who is a more fun version of their father because he's like basically like a child a little bit. Like he's very
a psychotic fucking
naive,
child. Yeah.
Yeah, who is also like really good at murdering people and is kind of crazy. Anyway, all of this is to say that like you could still have some really interesting stuff happening where In the second season, you have a little bit more of the survival-y, still trying to unravel the mysteries of Umbrella from the childhood side. Less drama, more mystery. And then in the other side, you can have this kind of fun vendetta-y thing where it's Jade now like on this quest to just tear down Umbrella. Like she is, you know, screw the rest of the world, screw anything else. I'm going to get my daughter back. And it's like a straight up revenge kind of thing. Yeah. And I think that could have been better than what we got from this.
I agree. Yeah. I think this was redeemable, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't think that, I know I've been a little, I wouldn't say I've been super harsh, but like I haven't commented on all the really good things this show does, but
we've been appropriately critical. I think like neither of us despise the show.
We've been fair. Yeah. I've not been fair in the past. I feel like I'm being pretty fair. But I think that like some more time in the writer's room and some development and some feedback received on the show from avid listeners avid watchers and people who are like really dedicated to the deep well of this universe.
Yeah, the lore.
I think they could have really pulled it in and really made it something special or more special.
Yeah, I agree. And I will say that the one thing that this show does really well that I think that you can bring back for another season is the tone of like weird and ickiness that happens and kind of not knowing anything. A big like yeah. sticking point of a lot of the games is you, the player character, is thrust into a strange situation that really doesn't have a precedent in your reality at the time, right? In for instance, in the original, you're police folks going to help out this what you think is a riot, and then you end up trapped in this mansion in the woods, and there are zombies. And it's like completely incongruous, right?
Yeah.
And then you find this underground lab underneath it. And like there's this idea that like you can never know what's really happening. No one knows everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than the evil people that are always dying yeah. and or getting away. And yeah. this show does a really good job of illustrating that, and you could continue having that same dilemma with a lot of it.
Yeah.
That I think, like, when I was watching the show, I'm like, yeah, I feel kind of like I'm playing a Resident Evil game, and it made me want to go play the games.
Well,
to its credit, because they're fantastic games, but the games are all universally better. Even the bad games, I think, are better than the show, which is saying something. A fun side note, they mention in one of the flashbacks or in one of the events that the original Albert Wesker died in a volcano, which is in Resident Evil 5. Push him into a volcano and he dies.
Okay.
Technically, you punch a boulder so hard that the boulder rolls into him and he dies, which is, again, one of the most memed kind of things about the series, is like it turned into this really exciting horror franchise into like an action schlock of punching a boulder until it falls into a volcano. And that's also could describe this show, where it's like you take a fun kind of spooky espionage-y thriller thing, and then you also have these weird action horror gore fest pieces that are like, why, you know, you kind of jump on the shark a little bit here. And I think it's just funny that the games did it and the show did it.
Yeah. I think you earlier really hit the nail on the head. Tonally, it just was all over the place. And I think that I've seen shows where they do time lapses and time jumps and have two different timelines, and it's done well.
Well, it's the new prestige TV show thing to do. Yeah. You're not like a modern good television show unless you have a random time jump.
Yeah.
Which is it's true. A shtick I'm getting over. Like, I'm over.
I'm pretty over it, too.
Sorry, but continue your point. I wasn't trying to interrupt.
No, I think that it's been done. It's been done well. It's time to move on. Or just do it better. But, like, probably time to move on, right? But, yeah, I think the tone of all of it was just too different between the two timelines. It almost didn't necessarily feel like Jade was Jade. Like, it didn't feel like young Jade almost turned into adult Jade.
Well, super because we haven't seen the full picture yet.
Because we haven't seen it, and I know that, but
at the same time,
it didn't even almost feel like the same person, right? Yeah, I don't know. It was strange. The acting was good. The writing was
serviceable.
Obviously serviceable, but like not as good as it could have been.
It does. This is my biggest bad, because what I want to hear, actually, before I say my biggest bad, I want to know, you said like there's not, like you haven't said all the good things that you have about this show. A few minutes ago, you're like, you know, I've been fairly critical, but fair in my criticality. I want to hear like some of your actual goods, right? Because I feel like I haven't really gotten that.
I really liked the sets they used and the kind of the effects they used. Like I really believed the like corporation running the world thing, because they were all like decked out in like super intense like advanced military suits and guns and like all of that. And I really enjoyed the city and the scenes in the past timeline too. Really well.
Yeah.
It was like everything was stark white. Barely anyone was wearing color.
Yeah,
like
really
everyone was wearing very
out.
Muted and washed out colors when they showed up, and they even drove a white car, and you know, like they were the only two that really wore a ton of color and kind of popped at the beginning. And I thought that was really interesting, because it's like, oh, cool. It's just like a really sterile, stark, like past existence that they had, and then you flip-flop and you go to 2036 and it's like colorful blood. There's like, oh fuck, everything blew up. It's no longer this like sterile corporate built, everything is cookie cutter the same society. It's all just totally fucked now.
Yeah,
you know, like, and like I thought that was really good.
And some of it's fine and some of it's not, right? Like you have the like where she's in the UK, where it's like very much the classic like she is the only human kind of left vibe, right?
Yeah,
where last stander I am legend. And then you get to like the coast where there's like a city that she's in where she's trying to like find transport, and it's very like realistic post-apocalypse. People still live in homes, there's a structure, but it's loose, and you can tell they're still under the thumb of Umbrella, and like there's a lot of there's kind of a corporate overlord. And then you get into the culty side, so I agree with you that there's like a really good delineation between past and future in that way. I was like even noting, this is like me being a weird nerd, where like they you know, in the past, and you're looking at Raccoon City, I noticed that all the trees that they used and like all the shots are olive trees, which doesn't seem important, but olive trees have really, really muted green leaves. Like it's in, they look like when you see them in the desert, because they grow in a lot of like desert arid climates, they look much brighter than they are. But when you see them in like a normal landscape, they look so dull. They look like a sickly tree. And that's like a great way to put like this, it's like this facade, this like white and muted like baby blue facade of like their whole existence in this like corporate town that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
Yeah. So I thought they did a really good job with, you know, set design and stuff like that. And I liked, obviously it felt like a very much a Resident Evil thing, 'cause like red is obviously a very pervasive color in the whole thing from what I've seen and what I know.
Well, there are whole like, scenes in the show that are completely redwashed
in
right?
red, right?
And
so what I was gonna say is like I liked that anytime anything went really fucking bad,
everything
was
red.
Yeah, everything was red. And you were like, oh, I kind of need to get ready for some shit to happen right now.
Yeah. Which, well, like I'm seeing
it can
red,
be
a, like literally.
Yeah, like I'm seeing red. Like that could be good or it could be bad, right? It could be giving us too much information. It could be telling us like, oh, expect something bad. And you're like, oh, well, I knew something bad was going to happen. But also it could be good because like you don't know what's going to happen. It could still be unexpected. So I don't know. But I like the way they did that.
Yeah, I think that's all fair.
And the acting was good. I mentioned that already, but I genuinely didn't really find a huge issue with any of the acting. It was just the writing for some of the characters and the dialogue that felt lacking for me.
Yeah, it's I think boils down to like a structure problem, like in the biggest way. Because even if you recut the entire show where you just had four episodes of past and then four episodes of future, you could potentially fix some of the issues because there would be less tonal jumping. You wouldn't like be like you were saying, like there's this like intense action scene where she's running from zombies and getting trapped and getting captured. And then it's like them kind of crawling around their house, trying to avoid cameras quietly. And it's like, those two things are very different. Right.
Exactly.
And it's not to say that they both can't work in the same show, but they can't work seconds apart from each other because that's not the way that tones work in television or anything.
It's just really. Whiplash. It's just total whiplash.
Yeah. Whiplash is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what are some of the great things you liked about the show? Tell me more. It seemed like there was enough of a nod or homage to the original, or I guess the already standing lore of Resident Evil. What do you think felt like what was missing, or what were you hoping to see that you maybe didn't see?
I would have actually liked to see more of the characters from the games. Sorry, I don't know why I paused to think of that word so long. I would have liked to see more characters from the games because like Albert Wesker is a very important character, but even the Albert Wesker that we're dealing with is not the original. He's not the evil, like you know, he's a clone of him who is otherwise you know, unimportant. It would have been nice to see a mentor from a Jill Valentine, a Chris Redfield, a on and on and on. There's lots of great characters to pull from. And I think that you could have had some fun stuff happening with them without it being too much of a like a reference grab. I don't know how to say it, like just fan servicey, right? Like you could have just like Albert Wesker is a fan service when it's like by himself, but if you add in like another character that's kind of helping them unravel the mystery because they that's what they do in the games, it makes a lot more sense, right? And so I thought that could have been really interesting, or even just more references where it feels more connected, because other than the name and the fact that Umbrella's there and that they're in Raccoon City, especially the latter half, the future stuff feels very, very disconnected from the game lore and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because at basically no point in the video games has the apocalypse happened and zombie outbreak happens everywhere. It's a lot of like small pockets of events and in isolated incidents rather than like the world has collapsed. That's a little different in the fifth and sixth games, but even then it's still like relatively contained. And so it just feels like that section was just a different thing. And I just preferred the kind of espionage-y, spooky, corporate, umbrella-y stuff, even if I didn't like the teen drama stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. And the message is just so muddy in the show. I was trying to talk about good things. Yeah. I ended up talking about bad things, but I'm going to keep going.
That's okay.
Like the message is just murky, right? It's like, what is the point of any of this show in terms of its presentation to a narrative? Like, what are we trying to learn from it? What is the benefit of it? Is there a moral to it? No, there's none of that is present. No. The only thing that I can pick out that's just kind of funny is like veganism caused the end of the world, I guess. And that's a joke. Like, I don't care if anyone's vegan, but like that, like that's the first domino in this long chain of events.
It's
right?
So true.
Or like scientific curiosity kills your best friend who's pregnant. Like those are the genuine morals that you can kind of pull out from this. And
don't trust science and veganism.
Don't trust science.
Is bad.
Don't be a hero. Don't think that you can kill a big spider on your own because you're going to get bifurcated because that happens. The show is too gory for its own good, too.
Yeah. Well,
the effects were good.
Yeah.
But it didn't service anything. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You need to have those kinds of things for a reason or for a message or a purpose.
I agree.
When you're seeing like the lickers, which are the ones that can't see anything, but they have the long tongues and they're being attacked in the tunnels, it is scary to watch them get picked off one by one and get them ambushed, right? But then in a few minutes later, you see this giant spider who's like hunting for them, both of which appear in the video games, which is again references to the video games.
Yeah.
But then when they realize that they're kind of in a dead end, the spider can't get to them, but they also can't get out. One of them decides to sacrifice himself and he like kind of thinks he has it on the ropes. And then it just immediately splits him in half. And it's like that A isn't what happens in the games. And B, it doesn't serve anything other than like the gore factor rather than being like an emotional, powerful moment for the death of a family member, you know?
But it wasn't emotional for us, right?
That's
it was
what
emotional
I'm saying.
For the mom and for the boy or the boy.
But you've known these characters
I feel like
for
the boy was
48
infected.
Seconds.
He was acting sus as fuck, but
well, that's because he was a zombie.
Yeah, he was a zombie. So.
But my point is that you have to earn by building up character traits.
Yeah,
you care a lot more even about the other scientist who is pregnant that gets killed moments after she's introduced because you have a characteristic that you can attach yourself to of a grieving father and her losing now not only her own life but the life of her unborn child, right? And like you can care about it, but these like random people that she kind of like forces to help her get across this the English Channel who then die kind of ignobly, it's like I don't care about those characters and I'm not sad when they get split in half.
I feel like for a zombie show, there weren't a lot of zombies. Like, I'm really thinking about it, right?
Well, the
there's
character
zombies
doesn't
in the first
interface
episode
with a lot of
or a little bit of
there
the
are a lot of
episode.
Zombies around.
Yeah, but not like, I don't know. It's like maybe half of what we see. I might even be kind of too liberal. Maybe half of what we see in adult Jade timeline is zombies, if that. And
so
it's mainly
a quarter
like,
of the show.
Yeah, a quarter of the show is zombies, but the whole thing is kind of about zombies.
Is it?
And I understand in the young timeline, the past timeline, we're building up to that. I don't know. It's just it really did to me feel like we got half of a season. Just to go back to the point, it just felt like we weren't finished there.
Well, it is only 8 episodes.
Yeah, right. Which is
slim to begin with.
Of course, yeah. This 8 episodes is not that many. But I feel like if it went 16 and they continued telling the story.
I couldn't have watched 16 episodes of the show.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Maybe we would have been left with like something happening that was more significant than what did, which was half of a story. But yeah, I don't know that I would have really been too enthused about 16 episodes of this show. But
well, I think there's another problem. And it's one that we talked about a little while ago. We haven't revisited it because we haven't watched a lot of shows from Netflix, but it is the Netflix problem. That is that a lot of their shows feel very similar. And this felt right in line with the Netflix thing. If you showed me this along with 4 other of the random shows that we've watched that are not from Netflix, I could instantly point out to you the fact that it was made by Netflix. Just because it does have the kind of shooting style, the budgetary things where you can really hone in on the fact that this is made by the studio who is trying to turn out content rather than by people who are passionate about making the show. I'm sure these people are passionate. That's not to say that their passion is misplaced.
But they're not maybe passionate about Resident Evil.
That's my point, right? Yeah. Is they're passionate about their craft, not about what they're actually working on. Where I think you could have a really interesting show made by independent people that are kind of working on a shoestring budget that actually does this much more effectively, where you might not still see a lot of zombies, but the zombies you see actually have a lot of impact on the story and are meaningful. And I just think that it's worth noting because as there are a lot of shows that Netflix continues to cancel for no reason or because they get poor reviews or because we don't know. It's important to, I think, just call out that it is very Netflixy.
Indubitably. It is very, very Netflixy. Well, just for a little information, it got a 54% in Rotten Tomatoes.
That's better than I would have anticipated.
A 53 out of 100 from Metacritic.
Again, better than I would have anticipated. Why do we think that is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, 50% is still an F, Presley. So, I mean, that's still pretty bad. But
yeah, but we think about our rating system. Like, that's like a 2. Right, in the sense of like, we give a lot of shows 2, but we don't hate those 2s. They're 58 is like half the people that watched the show liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, half the people that watched it liked it. So that's not bad compared to a lot of the shows we've watched. It's not good enough, though. And I'm betting that's why it was canceled.
Yeah, I mean, It was canceled with a I mean, I guess we're at our ratings and reviews. I mean, like...
Hold on. Fun fact.
Give me this
fun fact time. It aired on July 14th, 2022. Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you know when it was canceled without looking it up?
August.
You already know because you already looked it up.
It would have been my guess, but I do know it. Yeah, it was canceled a month later.
It was canceled like a month and a half later. So what did it have enough time to actually breathe or grow on people? Who knows? But it was canceled pretty quickly.
Or was it released in the heyday of some other actually popular Netflix IP that people actually care about? I don't know what was released at that time, but it would not surprise me.
Yeah. Anyways, that's a fun fact. It was canceled about a month and a half after it came out. Classic Netflix. They basically planned to cancel it before they even came out with it. Because you don't just cancel a show that quickly. There's a lot more deliberation.
You already have your test markets done by then.
Yeah, I would expect there to be a lot more double deliberation to cancel an entire production.
I agree.
Anyways.
I think we're at our ratings here. Do you want to tell the folks at home how we rate our shows?
Man, this motherfucker, you're always making me do it.
Fine, I'll do it.
No, I can do it.
It's your job.
It's also your job, Presley.
Well, you never ask me.
Because you just butt in and say it. Now, look, now we're arguing. Let's just be friends. Let's be lit.
Fine.
Let's both just breathe. Everybody breathe. Take a sip of water. All right. Now that we're all calm, And, so 0 out of 5 is going to be a show that should have never gone past just a fleeting idea. A 1 is a show that deservedly saw a pilot, but should have never gone past that. 2 is going to be a series that was rightfully canceled at 1 season. A 3 is a series that we could have seen more, or it could have been canceled and that was okay. Just kind of take it or leave it. Watch your own risk if you like the conversation and the themes. Shoot for the stars. 4 out of 5 is a series that we're pretty sad was canceled. Definitely deserved a couple more seasons. A 5 is a series that is a pillar of pop culture, and it's an absolute dang friggin' shame that it was canceled. With that, Presley, give us your rating out of 5 stars on our 6-star scale.
it's such an easy 2. Without even thinking, I watched the first episode, I'm like, this is gonna be a 2. Just because it's like fine. It's like, it's okay. I like some of the video game references, but I'd rather go and play the video games or like watch like a lore recounting of the video games on YouTube. Yeah. Like I bet there's like a nice like 45 minute lore video that like kind of fully talks about the lore that I think I would gain a lot more enjoyment out of than this show.
Yeah.
And is also a lot shorter and doesn't have a bunch of teen drama stuff that I don't care about or whatever. Yeah. Or boring zombie post-apocalyptic stuff that I don't care about. Right. Yeah, so yeah. I think like a very easy 2 for me. It was perfectly acceptable when you're watching it, but it's not something I at no point was like, man, I can't wait to watch the next episode, which that I have to have that at least once to ever give something a 3.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't ask, but I think I'm just about to ask 2.
You,
but
you were contemplating, you dickhead.
This was a 2 for me. I'd love so much to give a different rating than you, but it seems like we're just too in sync now.
This is like, should I pick a show that maybe I know that I love and that I know that you'll hate to kind of like really drive a wedge between us once again?
Can we survive it?
Can we survive it? That's a good question. I don't know.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Pick something that you know you like. That's fine. Or that you think I'll hate, and then maybe I'll surprise you, and I'll love it, and then you'll hate it.
I will.
There we go.
I know what I'm picking. I was gonna pick like something that I know would be a good show, and then I was like, nope. I'm gonna pick something that is trash that I love. Okay.
I love that. So this is a 2. I pretty much agree with your sentiment. I really wanted to know more about how it all happened, how it all began.
Yeah.
And that's what kept me watching, but it wasn't like I was hooked on it.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh man, I've got to keep like watching it. I enjoyed it enough to not give it a 1.
Yeah, right. That's how I feel about it.
And I think that's fine. But if we got another season of this show in the way that the first season was done, I don't think I'd be very enthused to catch it.
Yes, 100%.
So I think that it's a perfect 2 for me.
Yep.
So yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for our next show?
I'm actually kind of excited now.
This is one of the OGs of the list that I have on my phone that started the inception. This was not the show that started the original like idea for the podcast. That was Alcatraz, as we all know.
Oh,
The 5 that got away, as I'm going to my white whale of a show. And so this is at the very, very close to the top. It's actually the top one of our list. We are going to be watching Almost Human.
Almost Human. I've eyed that show a lot on the list because it's at the top.
The first one on the list.
But I've never looked it up.
Was ahead of it, but then it got bumped.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm excited. Almost Human. I love this show.
Okay.
Spoilers for our next episode. Sorry that this one's late, y'all. We did a bad job of planning our weekend plans and just got to it late. But we'll get it edited and out to y'all as quick as we can.
Yep.
And I don't know. Is there anything else to cover, Andrew?
You can find us on all social medias at season_1_pod. Say that 12 times fast. I can't even say it once.
Or just one time right.
Yeah, season_1_pod on all socials. Season1pod.com, as well as our subreddit r/season1pod. Yeah. I think that's it.
If you want a cool logo.
Yeah, we've got merch. We've got cool mugs, notebooks, hoodies.
Yep. I take hats. All my notes for the show in a notebook with our own branding, which is very narcissistic. Yep. I love it. You can also, if you want to kick us a little bit of funding to support us buying all these stupid freaking subscription services and shows, we do have a Patreon if you care for that. If we do get enough patrons, we have plans for another podcast in the works that Andrew doesn't know about. It's a secret. You got to find out about it on the Patreon. So if you're curious, you can throw us $2 and we'll be very thankful. Most of all, rating and review. We love it. We're not going to ask anymore.
Yep.
Thank you all for listening. We do really appreciate it. And again, sorry for the lateness, but we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with our review of Almost Human. But I think with that, my name has been Presley.
And my name is still Andrew. We watch it so you don't have to.
Why are outros like so weird and bad?
Because they're supposed to be weird.